Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The Emmy Awards went live and virtual last night on ABC. What's your takeaway on the winners, the highlights, and the lowlights? Today, you out there get your say when you join me next. Also ahead, a new viewership low watermark for the Emmys will explain, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and Truden Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and for the very first time on Amazon Music. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televise. More details later in the program. A great Monday afternoon to you, the day after the Primetime Emmy Awards on ABC. 64 degrees top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and we welcome you to the program All About Television. And for those of you that are joining us for the very first time on Amazon Music, thank you for joining us on a very special day in the history of podcasts and radio at large. Because for the first time this week, we are joining more than 70,000 outstanding podcast series and programs on this very website, Amazon Music. So we want to take a moment to thank Amazon for making it happen on their music internet site, and we hope that you tune us in here and make us a regular habit. Today, it's all about the Emmy Awards, and we want to hear from you. What did you like? What didn't you like? What do you think about what went down? With this first ever virtual, because of the coronavirus pandemic, award ceremony. So we want to hear from you, and we want to hear from you throughout this hour. So start giving us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we've got our chat room going, so if you're shy about using the phone, we want to hear you in the room, and we will hear you for sure. So put us in the room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find me at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. So tell us anything. So we just tried to get in the room a moment ago. So try again. We will let you in. And as soon as we get your comment in, we will bring it to all of our listeners. And of course, while the program is on the air, you can bring others into the conversation. How? Use Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker or tune in screen, follow the instructions, and they can be live with you and with us. And first, before we get things underway, let's give you the big news note of the day. Despite handling a coronavirus-induced technical challenge in outstanding fashion, last night's 2020 Emmy Awards production on ABC was a viewing turnoff. Just 6.1 million people watched the live and virtual event, compared to 6.9 million last year. Emmys 2020 is now the least watched in the event's existence. The 2019 results were 33% below 2018, and 2020 is another double-digit percentage plunge, 13%. As far as the results were concerned, and we're talking about the combined results of last night at ABC and the rest of last week through a set of Creative Arts Emmy ceremonies, HBO wrapped the 2020 Emmys with 30 awards, tops among programming services. The channel went 3-for-4 in the major scripted categories, winning Best Drama for Succession, Miniseries for Watchmen, and Neighbor TV Film for Bad Education, which we highlight on this program with the writer of that movie earlier this year. Netflix was second with 21 Emmys, Pop TV third, scoring 10. Watchmen collected 11 Emmys in all to be king of series or individual programs. Bleak Street, yes, we have to say it that way or else we go off the air, pulled in 9 awards for second place, 9 of the 10 that Pop TV had, including all 7 comedy awards given out last night, led by Best Comedy Series, up first. Bringing up the third was Disney's Pet the Mandalorian with 7 statues. Now for some quickies. Peacock starts the week available through Roku. HBO Max picked up Roku carriage last week. A new 3-part miniseries version of Black Narcissus, if you remember the film with Deborah Kerr from the 1940s, will play on FX November 23rd. The program features one of Diana Rigg's last TV performances. Vice Studios will co-produce Closed Minded, a transgender makeover series running on Fuse early 2021. Remember the 13th renewal of Mr. Mercedes last November on AT&T's Audience Network? Well, those episodes will now be picked up on Peacock, now the Audience Network is no more. The memory of Samantha Bird, a romantic drama from former Blumhouse TV production head Jessica Rose, is under consideration as Stars. And according to research presented this afternoon at the Connected TV Ad Summit, which is going on as we speak, 80% of all U.S. households have a smart TV set or connected device. 58% have a smart TV set, and 59% possess multiple products. The household penetration a decade ago, just 24%. The connected TV advertising summit continues for the rest of this afternoon, and then back tomorrow for another round of sessions. And that is News Notes for today. So again, we are turning things over to you, so we want to hear from you. Give us a call with your Emmy thoughts. It's 646-652-2906. 646-652-2906. Again, the number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. Or put your thoughts in the chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name. And again, that is on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So where do we begin? Well, let's start with last night. What was really amazing about, for me, the Emmy Awards. By the way, this is the first time I have not only watched the Emmys, but I also covered it from the first ever virtual press room, seen by both ABC and on Saturday night on FXX, was really something special. A little later on, I hope to bring you some of the inside scoops that we got in talking to some of the Emmy winners from both last night and Saturday. What was really amazing is that ABC had a challenge, a huge technical challenge that no other Emmy Awards, no other award ceremony of that caliber has ever had, to deal with not only a virtual set at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, but 130-plus nominees in 110-plus locations in 10 cities and the United States. I should say 10 countries and the United States. And that at any given moment when somebody won an award, you had to go right to that person's home or wherever they set up their camera and pick it up and just go rubber the ball. Well, director Hamish Hamilton, I believe his name is, and Reginald Hudlin, the executive producers, and Jimmy Kimmel, I thought did an absolutely marvelous job. With all that, all the possible technical craziness of it, it actually came off really smooth. And you got to give credit to ABC's technical crew for what they had to go through and all the guessing and second-guessing. They really did make it work. So hands off to everybody involved. As far as the awards went, let's talk about that first. Then I want to get to the tone of the show because I want to offer a little later on my take on why, if this is the lowest-rated Emmy Awards show in the history of this medium and this competition. Let's talk about the awards first. I believe everybody is really shocked at Bleecker Creek winning not one, not two, but all seven awards that were presented last night. All seven. Never has happened before, including Best Comedy Series. Did it deserve a good chunk of them? Yes. I mean, here's a show that started softly and slowly on Pop TV, a network that, compared to others, fewer people watched than others. The show got better every season. The critics got involved with it. It had its best season for last. It's six. And along the way, it broke some barriers, particularly its treatment of the gay, lesbian, transgender community. We had Daniel Levy on our show, the creator and co-star of Beeps Creek during the first season. And he was a great, great guest. And it was wonderful to see him last night with Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, the whole crew celebrating. And they really did celebrate. It was a party atmosphere where they were to get those seven awards. I do believe that two of the awards, the ones to Eugene Levy for Best Actor and Catherine O'Hara for Best Actress, were just as much a recognition of their lifetime career in television comedy as it was for their work on this program. If you know your TV history, Eugene and Catherine have been much a part of television since the 1970s when they, along with Andrea Thomas and others, got together to a show called Second City Television. It was a syndicated show out of Canada, late night. It was, believe it or not, a spoof of television at the time. And it was very well done. And I used to see it in my dorm room at American University Saturday next at 11 o'clock on WDCA Channel 20, the independent station. Still is independent. And, of course, we've seen both of them do their thing on SCTV, first on NBC, then on Cinemax, and in other places ever since. including Saturday Night Live. And to see their characters grow on this series was really something special. So I'm not surprised they won, but I think it really was, like I said, a recognition of lifetime achievement. It was as much a lifetime achievement award as it was an award for this program. Do I think it should have won the all seven awards? No. I think writing and directing could have gone to others. I think supporting actor or actress could have gone to others. It was the favorite going in for Best Comedy Series. But nevertheless, I'm really happy. I'm happy that once again, second year in a row, Fleabag was last year, this year's Bleak's Creek, that a program that came out of nowhere turned out to be one of the big winners for the Emmys. When it came to the dramas, really the limited series, the other big story I thought was Watchmen. A show that originally was supposed to be a series, then became a miniseries, and it won 11, including, as mentioned earlier, Best Limited Series. Regina King continues to be one of the great national treasures of television and film. Her performances just keep growing and growing and growing. She hits it out of the park every single time. And she gave one of the best acceptance speeches of the night. By the way, I had a chance to talk to Damien Lindelof, the executive producer of Watchmen, and I asked him in the virtual press room last night, A, what's next for you, and B, do you want to work with Regina King again? First of all, Damien said, and I quote, to work a third time with Regina King is miraculous. You better believe he would do it again. By the way, ditto Regina King for Damien Lindelof. In terms of what's next for him, it sounds like he is, as he said, I'm just going to get off the carousel here. In other words, I don't think you're going to see him executive produce a show anytime soon. Certainly not a second season of Watchmen. But I do think you're going to see him, rather than directly overseeing a show, I think you will see him nurture new talent. He said that he'd like to find voices that would not be heard otherwise. He'd like to be a curator of TV talent. I hope he is. He'd be marvelous. He's had a great career. I don't think it's the last of him executive producing or showing a show, but I do think he's going to develop a career to really develop a lot of new talent and give them their big break. So keep your eyes peeled. I think that's going to happen. And congratulations to Watchmen for topping all the programs with 11 Emmy Awards. It was a big weekend for The Mandalorian. Disney Plus really got on the board in a big way. Seven awards all technical. It tied with Succession, which won the best drama series. Also won some other awards too, I believe directing for a drama series, and also for Jeremy Strong's performance. To me, the big surprise winner last night was in the directing of a miniseries category, or limited series category. A person I think we're going to hear a lot about named Maria Schrader. Maria is a German-born director, and she may have made history last night. She may have been the first director of an episodic series that was multilingual. It was more other languages than was English. We're talking about Unorthodox, a really outstanding miniseries. You can make the argument that if it wasn't for Watchmen being put in that category, Unorthodox might have been the favorite to win. And Shira Haas, incidentally, the star of that show, gave one of the great breakout performances, not only of this past season, but of recent years. It's amazing to believe, from Maria, that 14% of all German television directors, 2020, are women. I hope that changes after Maria's win. Maria was just absolutely gracious. She gave one of the best acceptance speeches of the night. She calls Shira Haas a great gift to television. And I think you're going to be hearing more from this woman down the road, whether it's on a regular series or a limited series. She is a sensational talent, and I thought she deserved that Emmy. Just really, really wonderful. Also, some other winners along the way. Saturday Night Live keeps going with six. RuPaul's Drag Race got VH1 into the major leagues with six awards. It was tied for third place with five going in to last night, but it got the award for RuPaul for the show. And NBC, because of Saturday Night Live, tied with Disney Plus for third place. Really great. VH1 ended up in fourth. some of the other winners last. I don't know if it was great to see that I Know This Much Is True won the Emmy for Mark Ruffalo's double performance. I know that there were some other people that were hoping for people from Miss America and Watchmen and so forth to get in. But if you really watch that performance by Mark Ruffalo, it really is something special. And congratulations for that. It was a really, really terrific performance. We're talking about the Emmys today on Tomorrow Be Televised this hour. We want to hear from you, so give us a call. What were your feelings about what went down? So call us, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. In a few moments, why I think the Emmy Awards turned out as low-rated as they did, and what do the Emmys have to do to turn it around? My thoughts about that shortly. And also, later on, some thoughts about what I thought was one of the best things, maybe the best thing, about the Emmys, the In Memoriam segment, and how it was handled. It may have been the best In Memoriam segment in recent years on any television award show. We'll get to that shortly. But first, I want to let you know that we got some wonderful people coming your way on this program the rest of the week. We have three episodes coming your way today, Wednesday, Friday, all at this very hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Coming up on Wednesday, the brand new network is launching tomorrow. It's called Extreme Vibe. They're having a party for it in Harlem tonight. And we will talk live and exclusively with the head of the network, Nicole Clark. She's our lead guest. Then there's a brand new book out about Comedy Central. It's called Constant Comedy. We'll talk to the former Comedy Central executive who put it together, Art Bell. And finally, there's a brand new show on BYU TV called All Round Champion. We've got the executive producer, Matt Hertzberg, and also former Olympian, Perdita Alicien. She's the host. And they'll all be with us Wednesday. So you join us, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Also coming up a little later on, our classic trivia question of the week. And we do have an up segment for you, too. And a little off the beaten track, something I saw on YouTube this weekend in celebration of Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, that turned out to be quite remarkable. So more about that as we go on. But again, we want to hear from you, so get on the phone, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As you heard earlier in the half hour, the latest Nielsen data, and it looks like the final Nielsen data, showed that only 6.1 million people watched the Emmy Awards last night. It was the lowest viewership in the ceremony's existence. It was 13% below last year, which was 6.9 million viewers, and that was 33% below the previous year in 2018, the last time more than 10 million people watched an Emmy telecast. And the obvious question is, why? Why are people turning off this program? Well, I know some people are already saying, well, you had a lot of competition this year, not only from Sunday Night Football and NBC in a great game, which went right down the wire, but also an NBA playoff game on TNT, which is highly unusual for this time of year. And some people said, well, we didn't know a lot about the winners or the nominees because they were not on broadcast television. They were on Netflix, they were on Hulu, they were on Amazon, they were on Pop TV, they were on VH1, yada, yada, yada. I'd like to offer something different. I'd really like to have your thoughts about this. Because I really believe that there is a big other reason why this show has gone so far down in viewership. And it's about what isn't being presented on the program. When you watch or people watch the Tony Awards or the Grammy Awards, one of the things that they do very well is they showcase what's going on in the music scene, in the case of the Grammys, and the Broadway scene, in the case of the Tony Awards. And you get performance after performance after performance that shows you the great variety of music that's currently available with the Grammys and the great variety of Broadway plays and musicals, mostly musicals, with the Tony Awards. By the way, at the Tony Awards were, if the Broadway theater community would ever use cable television, video on demand, streaming services through smart TV sets and devices like the Stage Network or Broadway HD to put their product on, either live with a premiere or tape it for video on demand or later run, you would see a lot more people watch the Tony Awards every year. The Tonys are among the best, by the way, there's a side note. The Tony Awards are among the best produced award shows year after year after year. And they don't get the ratings because unlike other mediums. Television, film, books, movies, Broadway theater is a New York phenomenon. It's not a national phenomenon because it doesn't come out immediately all over the country. So when you hear about the Tony Awards, you don't know who to root for because Broadway doesn't come to your town as fast as other media. But people who watch the Tony Awards love it because they know they're going to get a showcase of what is going on. It's a celebration of the medium. And the same thing with the Grammy Awards, the celebration of the medium. For me, that's not what's happening with the Emmy Awards, and for that matter, the Oscars. When people tuned in last night to watch the Emmy Awards, they did not get a celebration of where TV is at and where it is going. Here's what they got. A lot of inside baseball, a lot of over-your-head jokes that nothing was to do with the state of television. For example, that joke that was given early on about ICE paying a visit to John Oliver of Last Week Tonight. That doesn't like that organization. And it goes on throughout the program. It's inside baseball. Nobody cares about it. Try this on. Nobody cares about that. They want to see where TV is at and where it's going, and they want to celebrate. This is the one opportunity that television has to unite itself and tell people, here's where we're at. And that didn't happen last night, and it didn't happen the year before, and it didn't happen the year before that, etc. Same with the Oscars. You never get that sense. And that is, I think, the biggest turnoff. It's more of a turnoff than an NBA game or Sunday Night Football or some other thing was on at the time. For example, why didn't we see anything about Law and Order Special Victims Unit becoming the longest-running drama series in the history of the medium, going into its 21st year this year and 22nd this fall? Why didn't we see anything about the surge of smart TV plumbing services happening all over the place that we have covered on this program in spite of the pandemic? Why didn't we see anything about new services like telemedicine with companies like MedSign or about Portal TV from Facebook that allows video chat, Zoom-like quality, and augmented reality on the television set? And the rollout of ATSC 3.0 that would allow television stations to do more services. How come we didn't see, more about why Bleak's Creek has turned out to be the phenomenon it did? Or about what else is happening on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and ABC, CBS, NBC? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So in a way, it's not surprising that people don't watch, because you don't give them a reason to tune in. And you give them lots of reasons to tune out. The Emmy Awards and the Television Academy have to start realizing that if you want viewers, you've got to use this as a platform to celebrate your art. And not to be a turnoff because somebody wants to make an inside joke to a viewership that is not part of the TV industry, or an executive in the industry, or a journalist covering the medium. The American public is quite intelligent. They want to be part of television. They are watching more television than ever before. Even in the era of smart TV sets and smart devices, they are watching billions of hours of content, and they're now using apps like Food Network Kitchen. By the way, why wasn't that showcased in the course of the Emmy Awards last night on ABC? Why wasn't the interactive TV things that are happening, like what Netflix is doing, like this Kimmy Schmidt interactive special that was up for Best Made for TV Movie? I'd really like to know what is in the heads of the people putting these ceremonies on, both Emmys and Oscars. And like I said earlier, one of the best things about the Emmys last night, ironically, because it did celebrate them, I have something to say about that in the second half hour, was the In Memoriam segment. It really was a celebration of people's talents. Tremendous celebration. Beautifully handled. More about that second half hour. I really, really hope that going forward that the Emmy Awards totally reconsider the focus of the show. Stop acting like it's a way to bash the medium or bash everything around the medium. which seems to be happening more and more. It's time to celebrate what this medium does, and that also includes the efforts to expand diversity on television. Oh, and by the way, let's be very clear when we're talking about diversity. All lives matter. African-American, Latino, Asian-American, gay and lesbian, transgender, bisexual, indigenous people, et cetera, et cetera. All lives matter. If you're going to have diversity in this medium, all lives have to matter. And all lives must be represented in this medium. And let's show that to the American public. It'd be really nice if they did. Again, we want to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up on our episode on Friday, a veteran of the TV daytime wars, Ianthe Jones will join us. She's working with Steve Harvey on Steve on Watch, his popular new series on Facebook Watch, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices. She's the executive producer and showrunner, and they just started season two a couple of weeks ago. Plus, another brand new network. One, again, featuring people of color and their work. Exposure TV Network. That is launching, by the way, this month. And we'll talk to its founder and chief, Pam Lawrence. That's all coming up, again, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here, this Friday, on Tomorrow We Televise. We'll be back to the show in a moment, but first, we want to hear from our wonderful sponsor, Audible.com. If you're looking for a really, really great book to make a difference in your life, how about this one by Lori Gottlieb called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. That's something, by the way, that the Emmy Award people should do. They should talk to the folks out there who are very intelligent. They know their TV. They might get some nice ideas, like, you know, showcase where the meme is at. Well, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb, a wonderful book, and you can get it right now through a trial run with Audible.com. And for those of you tuning in on Amazon Music, you should know that Audible.com is a leading provider, the leading provider, of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. You know, there's over 200,000 titles you can choose from, and get this, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, IR Radio, and Amazon Music. And remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook and one trial of service. Better yet, if you're already an Amazon Prime customer, make that two audiobooks with the one-month trial. And also, among the 200,000 choices you can make is the growing catalog of Audible originals. It is everything from original audio productions, it's the best of Broadway, off-Broadway regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. It's all available for you. So how about making this the week that you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? For that one or two free audiobooks, one-month trial, and by the way, for a limited time only, wellness and health information that can make a difference in your life, it's audibletrial.com/televise. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program all about the two, where it's at, where it's going. We're coming your way Monday, Wednesday, and Friday this week, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, plus the iRadio Podcast Network, and also for the first time on Amazon Music. And what's the other one to all of you that are tuning us in through Amazon Music? We're delighted to be part of a group of over 70,000 outstanding podcast series and specials that are coming to Amazon Music to you this very week. We hope you make us a regular habit, and get involved with our show. If you can't catch us on replay, catch us live if you can. 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We come back. We're going to keep on trying to take more of your calls and your chat room feedback about the Emmy Awards last night and what transpired. And I'll tell you in this next half hour about the In Memoriam segment, definitely the best of its kind to be done in quite a while. Plus, we've got an up segment for you on a recent topic, Pitch Week, and we'll also talk about a very interesting thing that happened over Jewish New Year weekend that was really special that came from Nueva York. We'll get to all that, but first, we want to pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Happy Tuesday Question of the Week also coming up, too, so stay tuned for that. You are listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunerradio.com. Together, reaching over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, VTR is your home for the Key of the Unplugged show tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, and that's 6 p.m. Pacific on VTR. And TuneIn Radio is your 24/7 home for the Coronavirus News Channel. Get the latest developments on what's going on with the pandemic around the world, plus podcasts, other original material. Coronavirus News Channel, 24/7, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to the second half of our post-Emmy Award edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. I'm Apple Dan with you live from New York. Great to have you with us. We want to hear from you. Give us your Emmy thoughts at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We want to hear from you. And coming up later this half hour, Classic Trivia Question of the Week, our up segment about Pitch Week, and something very special that happened this Jewish New Year weekend. As I said in the first half hour, or I suggested, that if there was one moment where the Emmy Awards accomplished what they should be accomplishing, and that is celebrating the medium, it happened with the In Memoriam segment. I've been a critic of past In Memoriam segments on the Emmys and the Oscars, not only for omitting people who should be in, but also the way it's handled. I have said from the get-go that the best people at this, that both the Emmys and the Oscars should talk to, is the folks behind Turner Classic Movies' annual members segment they do every December. It's the most comprehensive project of its kind. It's always done to great music. It's very empowering, very wistful. It sets the mood up beautifully, and it's really wonderful. Well, last night, the Emmy Award people finally got it. They finally got how to do this and do it in a sensitive and caring and beautifully celebrative manner. And that was to have this, I think it's a woman called Her, have in front of a piano and then later on a guitar, really let it rip with the famous Sinead O'Connor tune, Nobody Compares to You. It was beautifully put together. And what I liked about this and why this was really special was because the producers of this segment took extra care in matching the pictures of the deceased with the best work they were known for, like Carol Spinney, the voice of Big Bird for so many years on Sesame Street with the studio here in New York where he did his work for so many years with the Muppets and the Sesame Street cast and crew. Or Sumner Redstone, the former head of Viacom, with a picture of the Viacom building near Times Square. Or Leonard Goldberg, the veteran producer of so many hit television series, next to a group of five television sets, each one watching the logo of a program that he produced on his own with other people, especially his great partner for so many years, Aaron Spelling. Or Fred Silverman, who worked at all three broadcast networks as their lead programmer, CBS, NBC, and ABC, and having his face with a long corridor. Or Gene Reynolds, the producer, director, and writer of many a MASH episode, particularly in its early years, with a great shot of the helicopter scene overhead at the beginning of every MASH title sequence on CBS. It was absolutely, positively beautiful from start to finish. Beautifully handled. And it really focused the attention of the viewer on these marvelous people who passed away over the last year, from Robert Conrad to Robert Forster to Regis Philbin to Kelly Nakamura from MASH, so many people. I only counted one omission, and it's a big one. It's a two-time Emmy Award-winning writer named Laurie Mandel. In the 1960s, Mandel created a CBS Playhouse special, which was one of the best single programs of any year, called Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night. Really beautiful drama. One of the very best of that era. He also won a second Emmy about a decade later for miniseries work. He also did a lot of episodic work, and in fact, he also did film work. Over the weekend, Countdown, his movie about the U.S. space program, starring James Caan, Robert Duvall, all-star cast, Robert Altman's first film directing job, a job that he was unfortunately forced out of by Warner Brothers, who did a lot of re-editing on the movie because they didn't like the way Altman handled particularly overlapping dialogue in many scenes. Very realistic. Side note. It was his script. Laurie Mandel was one of the best writers of the 1960s and 70s in television, and he should have been in that list. The other quibble I have is with how some of the people in the In Memoriam were portrayed. For example, Carl Reiner. Yes, he's an actor, but he's better known in television for creating one of the great classic sitcoms of all time, Dick Van Dyke Show. Would it have been any problem to put down writer, director, series creator? Same thing with Buck Henry. He was not only a writer, he also created with Mel Brooks, Get Smart, another one of the great comedies of the 1960s. And I love the fact they used the sliding door from that great title sequence in his tribute. You couldn't put down that he was a series creator or producer. Come on. I know that in the interim, there have been also some other quibbles that people have raised. For example, Nancy Ryan, the publicist. Why was she there? Especially since she worked for an agency that worked on a lot of entertainment. I think that's fine. I'm not, no problem with that. She did a lot of TV clients. Point of disclosure, I worked a lot with Nancy's people at Big Winona Ryder on various topics covering the world of television over the years. So I have no problem with that. And I have no problem with Chapman Boswick being on at the end, even though he had more of a film career by far than television. Remember, we've had that classic trivia question over the last 2 weeks about the Fox television series that came out 10 years ago this summer? So for that, I put him in. I have no problem with that. And I'm happy in a way that it didn't end up with him, because I think he would have been a great example of where TV would have gone if he had stayed alive. And I also think that his battle with cancer will end up being one of the great stories of perseverance dealing with a disease such as that, a condition such as that. Again, In Memoriam, to me, I thought was an outstanding segment, and everybody should use that as a lesson, as a blueprint, a blueplate for how In Memoriam segments should be done at every major award ceremony from here on in. Just plain beautiful. Again, congratulations to director Hamish Hamilton for that sequence. It was just marvelous. And again, I thought it was one of the very few times that the Emmys lived up to what they're all about, celebrating the art, where it's at, where it's going. And by the way, if you missed the Emmy Awards, I'm delighted to say you can see that sequence and others at YouTube, at YouTube.com, which is, by the way, available to many people on smart TV sets and smart devices, as well as on laptops and mobile phones, and so on and so forth. Again, I want to hear from you. 646-652-2906. It's 646-652-2906. Numbers good anyway. You're catching us with Country Around the Globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio. We're also running on the iRadio podcast. Everyone, once again, in case you missed it, just joined us, we are also running for the first time on Amazon Music, along with 70,000 other outstanding podcast series and individual programs. So, again, congratulations. Thank you, Amazon Music, for jumping into the podcast phrase you did. And we hope that we do right by you, along with the rest of the podcast community. Something else I want to say about the Oscars. It was a pleasure for the very first time after years to be in the press room and to talk with many of the winners, in particular, Saturday night. It was a joy to be in that virtual press room that was put together by FXX and the TV Academy. And one of the great joys was the opportunity to see and talk with Norman Lear. Nearly 3 years ago, this program had the great fortune of having by far one of the great living legends of this business on this program. Think about this. This man is 98 years incredible. He has been responsible for some of the best television comedies and dramas in the history of the medium. He has innovated this medium left, right, and center, and he still is doing it, i.e. turning Good Times into an animated series that will come on next year, hopefully on Netflix. He won for Live in Front of a Studio Audience, the project he did with Jimmy Kimmel earlier this year. He was with Brett Miller, who was on our program when he did the One Day at a Time animated special. I have to tell you, Norman continues to be one of the great marvels of this or any century in television. We all should have his facilities when we get to be 98. And our interview with him 3 years ago was just one of the great highlights of my career and one of the great highlights of my life in 40-plus years of covering this medium. And when I got the opportunity to talk to him, I said, you know, Norman, thank you so much for doing our program. By the way, he did the program in conjunction with an American Masters special on PBS about his life and his brand-new book that came out at the time. And as I said, you know, it really was one of the great achievements of my life and great achievements of my career, and I cannot thank you enough for that, and he really appreciated that. And he appreciates all of you, by the way, who listened to that program. You can still catch it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And he is so excited about Good Times. He really thinks it's very, very special. And so does Brett Miller, who's working with him. So keep your eyes peeled about that. Really, really great. I also had a chance to talk to Mandy Moore, the choreographer of La La Land, who is the Emmy Award this year for Outstanding Choreography in a Drama Series for her work on Zoe's Extraordinary Place, which is coming back for a second season. I suggested to her that the Oscars should have given her an honorary award for a choreography for La La Land, and maybe they should think about doing a choreography Emmy, Oscars, and thumbs up from her. She's dynamite, really fantastic choreographer, and she will be back on the second season of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist on NBC. Wonderful series. It's picking up speed, and I think it's going to have a breakout year next year. And let's see, who else did I talk to? Oh, Ricky Minor, the Outstanding Music Director Award-winner for his work on the Kennedy Center honors last year on CBS. He believes that no matter what, that the industry will rise through the arts, that even though events have been canceled this year because of the coronavirus pandemic or being forced to go virtual, he really believes that it was the right decision to do it to save lives, and that ultimately live events will come back, and the industry and the American people will rise above, as they say, through the arts. My favorite interview, though, along with last night with Maria, the directing Emmy winner from Unorthodox, was with Ron Chaplin Jones. Ron was the guest actor winner for the second time on This Is Us. He's a fantastic performer. He plays Billy K. Brown's father. Just an amazing human being. And he and his daughter made history because for the first time, there's been a mother-daughter Emmy winner, a pair, or father-daughter, father-son, etc. But in this case, a father-daughter pair of Emmy winners in the same season for different shows. Ron for his work on This Is Us and his daughter for his work on a QB show. By the way, if you haven't heard the news, there's talk that QB is trying to either find a new buyer or raise money or do an IPO or anything in terms of staying alive. Came out of the Wall Street Journal on a credit set. And I asked Ron, you know, with so many people of color, with so many series creators of color forming their own production companies and having program development deals with the likes of Netflix and NBC and Disney and so forth, would you like to create your own content, either by yourself or with others? And he said that he has been on that track for the last few years. He wants to work with projects where he and they control the storyline, and he definitely wants to work with his daughter in terms of series creation. So keep your eye on Ron Jones. I think he's going to do it. And I think whenever he comes out, I think he's somebody who really does want to bring more talent of color, talent diversity into the mix. And he will. And it was a pleasure to talk with him. And congratulations to him. And he was very grateful to Dan Fogelberg, the creator of This Is Us, for the opportunity to do his role as Cillian K. Brown's father. We don't know whether he will be back in the fifth season because he said his arc, his storyline, did wrap up in season four, which ended early this year. And we'll see. But I promise you that you will see more of Ron as well. He's a fantastic actor and a fantastic talent. And I want to, by the way, thank all of the talent, the winners and nominees that came through both to the press room last night and to the press room on Saturday night, courtesy of SX. Really, really terrific. All right, Clavis Trivia question coming your way shortly, and we still want to hear from you. It's not too late to get in on the conversation about the Emmys, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So let's do our Classic Trivia question right now, and it's our second week of offering this question, which is an Emmy-oriented question, and if you're first with the correct answer, you will win two prizes. The book, Becoming Ginger Rogers, How Ballroom Dancing Made Me a Happier Woman, Better Partner, and Smarter Chief Executive Officer, by Patrice Tanaka, wonderful person on the New York tango scene, in addition to being a great executive, and it's by Ben Villa Books, plus three episodes of the Fox and Miller Nat Geo Wild series, Fish Tank Kings, all waiting for you if you know the answer to this question that we first posed a week ago. What comedy series became the first Emmy Award winner for Best Comedy Series back in 1951? What comedy series became the first Emmy Award winner for Best Comedy Series in 1951. Two big hints. It was not I Love Lucy, although it was nominated that year. And the winning series involves a greatly loved comedian, clown, and skillful person in the art of pantomime, who had a great career, one of the longest running, on comedy variety shows in the 50s and 60s. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you email, enclose both your name and your mailing address, so if you're the winner, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. One more time, classic trivia question of the week. What comedy series became the first Emmy Award winner for Best Comedy Series back in 1951? SimonApple04 by name, that's how you get your answer in. Make sure you enclose your name and mailing address. If you won before, let somebody else win and have the glory. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. We want to hear from you, so get involved. Play the game. Soon you do, so you got that chance to win. Great possibility, and we wish you, of course, all the very best. Well, at the moment, I want to give a shout-out to two things. First, the annual Hispanic TV Summit began here in New York virtually. It's part of the annual New York City Television Week in the fall, put together by SRAM Marketing and our good friend Joe SRAM. And this was the first one, by the way, that was out with his longtime partner in his enterprise, Rafael Ellie, a wonderful force in Spanish language television. He passed away this spring because of complications from the coronavirus pandemic. We continue to send our condolences to his family and many, many friends. And because of it, this week, today, was the Hispanic TV Awards Day. And for the first time, there is now a new honor, a pioneer of Hispanic Television Award in Rafael Ellie's honor. So congratulations to all the winners of the Hispanic TV Awards earlier this afternoon. I'll be joining in on the conference probably later on in the week. It will go through Thursday. For more details, you can go to HispanicTVSummit.com or go to Broadcasting Cable and MultichannelNews.com and click on the events section, and they'll give you all the information. It's not too late, by the way, to virtually be in that. And then we have something special that happened over this Rosh Hashanah Jewish New Year weekend. Central Synagogue of New York did something really amazing. They had a weekend ceremony of Rosh Hashanah, and most of it was done in song. That's right, prayers were done in song. And it came off as God meets Godspell meets Broadway. It was sensational. I was turned on to this by my mother, who asked me to check this out. And let me tell you, it was just plain fantastic. Really amazing. It was beautiful. The arrangements were beautiful. It was a lot of fun. Great, great, great work by everybody involved. Wonderful rabbi, cantor, etc. Diversity, by the way, all involved all over the place. Beautifully put together. It's really wonderful. And I'm happy to say that if you missed it, you can see it at YouTube.com. And if you want more details about the service and what the folks may do for the rest of the High Holy Days, go to www.centralsynagogue.com. That's www.centralsynagogue. And I can't wait to see what they do for Yom Kippur. The Atonement is Sunday night, next Sunday night and Monday. Can't wait to see what they do. I may join them in that one for Kol Nidre next Sunday night. So thank you to Central Synagogue. Thank you for making Jewish New Year even more special, even more wonderful, and definitely more musical. It's really, really appreciated. Again, we want to give you a chance to comment on the Emmys, so give us that call, 646-652-2906. Not too late to be involved. Also use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It is just waiting for you. Now it's time for Up as an update, where we check out an update on a guest and topic we had in this program. And a couple of weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, we showcased a project called Pitch Week. It's a pitch. It's a week of pitches where TV series creators, as well as filmmakers, pitch to various organizations. Well, Pitch Week is underway, and over 120 writers, mostly television series writers and creators, are going to have pitches this week with 250. They're going to be doing, actually via Zoom, first time virtual, 250 virtual pitch meetings. And they're doing it with people from key executives from Paramount, Netflix, MGM, Sony Pictures Television, Disney, Fox, as well as a whole mess of individual production companies. And Lee Adson, one of the key creators of Two and a Half Men. Just absolutely super. So congratulations on making that happen. And by the way, it's from a company called Coverfly. They were with us on September 11th. They were part of our 9/11 show week before last. So again, thank you to the folks behind Coverfly, and that's people like it's Mitch Lusas and Tom Deaver. And if you want to check out that episode, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And I hope you check out Coverfly and what they're doing. They're also representing a lot of other competitions. If you're interested in breaking into the business as a TV series creator, they can really help you a lot. And we'll see what happens. I want to point out that Pitch Week has been so successful the last couple of years that Coverfly is going to make it a twice-yearly event. Twice-yearly event for Pitch Week. So hopefully next year we'll see not one but two Coverfly Pitch Week events. And we'll keep you posted, by the way, on how this week goes. If we find a deal gets made out of this week, we'll tell you all about it. And we hope and we'll have that TV series creator on our show in the weeks ahead. So to sum up, the thoughts about the Emmys, A, great technical achievement to make it happen in spite of all the logistics. Kudos to Amish Hamilton, the director. Kudos to Reginald Hudlin and his production team and all the other executive producers. Kudos to Jimmy Kimmel. Kudos to, and again, congratulations to all the winners and all the nominees. Second, what an amazing accomplishment with Bleak's Creek to win all the comedy awards last night. And once again, HBO continues to be a great place for quality television. 30 awards, Netflix second with 21. Yes, I'm sure there are people who think there were some snubs, but I think that most of the awards were pretty apt. Again, the In Memoriam segments, the best of its kind done in years, even with the quibbles, sensational. Beautifully done. Set the standard, set the blueprint, set the foundation for how this should be done from here on in. And finally, if the Emmy Awards are ever to increase their audience, they must get back to being what they are supposed to be, a celebration of the medium, where it is at and where it is going. Cut out the inside baseball, cut out the protesting, cut out the over-the-top jokes, start talking directly to the American public about how this medium works, the great achievements, the technical breakthroughs, and what is going to impact television in the future. Bring that to the table starting in 2021, and I'll bet you the ratings go up. Sunday Night Football or no Sunday Night Football. NBA game or no NBA game. Other competition or no other competition. Red carpet or no red carpet. Let's get it done. TV Academy, you got to do it. Your survival may very well be at stake. I'm very sorry we couldn't get any calls or we couldn't get any chat reaction, but I'll tell you what, we'll leave the door open for reaction on Wednesday's show. So if you do have a reaction, you want to finally get in, bring it with us on Wednesday and make it happen. We'll take your calls about it throughout the show on Wednesday as well as your chat room reaction. So again, we have two more shows coming your way, Wednesday and Friday at this very hour. Don't forget, coming up on Wednesday, we'll have the head of Extreme Vibe Network, Nicole Clark. That network premieres tomorrow on Roku, and maybe on other places in the smart TV world, too. And we'll also have the former Comedy Central Senior Vice President, Art Bell, who's the author of the brand-new book, Constant Comedy, which I hope we will offer as an upcoming Classic Comedian Question Prize. And from the BYU TV series, all-around champion, executive producer, Matt Hornblum, and former Olympian host, Perdita Felician. Then on Friday, from the Facebook Watch series, Steve on Watch, executive producer and showrunner Andy Jones, and from the brand new service Exposure TV Network, excuse me, founder Pam Lawrence. If you came in late on today's program, or you want to catch up an episode you missed, by all means, go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, you can check out our podcast now on Amazon Music, along with 70,000 other outstanding podcast series and specials. Plus, our podcast is also available at iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast Service, TuneIn.com and iHeartRadio.com at the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. For the latter two, go to iHeartRadio.com and TuneInRadio.com, either one. Put Tamale Televised in the search bar, click, and you're in. And again, one of the great things about this program is we love your feedback. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our program today? What is your thoughts about the Emmys? And what's your thoughts for TV is that worth going? I'd love to hear any time. And I do respond within 24 hours when you make the communication. So do so at SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Don't forget that's how you get involved in our Crack Trivia question every week. And it's also a great way to be involved in another feature we do regularly called The Show to Know. Is there a TV show that you like that deserves attention? It's not getting it. We want to give it the attention, and we have to hear from you. And when we do, you get the credit. So email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Give us all the information about the show, how long it's been on, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll showcase it on an upcoming edition of this program. Remember, you can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. We always love hearing from you. And like I said, we do respond in 24 hours no matter how you communicate. Why? Because now more than ever, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate at Blog Talk Radio is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Steinberg, head of content. The co-founders of Blog Talk are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Will Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For one or two audiobooks, a one-month trial, health and wellness material, and much more, it's audibletrial.com/tell. Remember, if you're an Amazon Prime member already, it's two audiobooks for the trial of one. For Tommy Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Again, congratulations to all the winners and nominees of this year's Emmy Awards 2020. Have a great rest of your week and a great rest of your day. We will be back with you less than 48 hours from now, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, 9 edition, New Nowhere, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, the iRadio Podcast Network, and now Amazon Music. Whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe, make it great, and do what you have to do to make this pandemic go away. And it will go away, more thanks to you than anybody else. Remember, let's lift this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. And one more time, congratulations all you Emmy winners and nominees out there. You deserve the honor, and we acknowledge you for it. Take care.